And welcome, everybody, to the Week 4 review podcast of the Topper Sports, podcast. As always, I'm your host, Joe K. Welcome back. Another week was in the books. A lot of fun was had. A lot of alcohol was imbibed. And things happened. As always, joining me this time, she doesn't have her notebook, but she has pictures of her notebook because she has forgotten it along the way. Emily Curry. Hello, Emily.
Hello, everyone.
And then joining us today, our special guest. He has a beard, so he obviously didn't take the beard versus hair challenge, I guess, that they might have thrown out for a bet because he's too scared to shave. Ladies and gentlemen, league mastermind Jeff Kroll. Yeah. Jeff Kroll,
how this are you beard doing? Is a national treasure, and thanks for having me on the podcast.
Thanks for coming here. So let's start with that. There was an article. You did say that if you play the Jabronis, it's next week, right?
It's this upcoming week, yeah.
So did you guys figure out a bet for that game or what?
So we're very, very close. So the ideas that were tossed out in the Godfather article, one of them was about designing new jerseys for the losing team.
Oh.
Which we thought was a really cool idea, but yeah. At the same time, it's also like super expensive.
Yes.
To be like, hey, everybody needs to plunk down whatever it is, like $40 for a shirt that's going to say like, hey, sticky.
We got to know somebody who can make cheap t-shirts.
So maybe. And we're not opposed to like incorporating that into the bet. One of the other ideas was Eric Kleckler's hair versus my beard, which, while a really funny idea, I was talking with Christine, my fiance, and she immediately vetoed that. She's like, you're not doing that. You're not agreeing to that.
She likes the rugged look.
She likes the rugged look.
I feel like the Sticky Bandits jerseys have been like established since 1999.
Yeah, yeah. These things are an institution.
So if anything, you just need an upgrade. That's what it is.
So that could be true.
Yeah.
So we're still floating around ideas. So I was still texting with their captain. And so Joe Miano, I think, is their actual captain.
Tell him that he needs to make our intro that he told me about week one. And then he has yet to ever contact me.
I'll pass that information along to him.
Wait,
right now.
I was told JT is the Jabronis captain.
I don't think JT has any official position on any team.
I think he's the same captain the way B's brother was the captain of Mayhem for a little while there.
Yeah. They should form a team together.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Can you make this happen? B's brother?
B's brother was going to form the Diamond Dolls, which was a gender team in D6. The Diamond Dolls did not happen. We are still looking forward to that team being created.
That would have been something.
Yeah, but you would have to play for it and give up on Maddie's.
I know. That'd be one of the hardest choices of my life.
I think you'd leave Maddie's for the Diamond Dolls.
I think I might.
That might have been Lenny's dying wish, and we just didn't know. So where's your bet stand at right now?
So right now what we're talking about, and it's kind of just a ripoff of a bet that was done last session, but somebody, and I think it was maybe 40-year plan guy, had to do like makeup or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we're talking about doing
a –
maybe I think it was a Breakfast Club bet. So we're talking about doing like a full team makeup bet where the girls on the winning team get to do the makeup for the guys on the losing team before their next game. So that's kind of what we're tossing around right now.
Eric had asked our group text for ideas. I suggested bra bets,
yeah.
And then he said Stacy for Meg's bras, but I think it got vetoed.
Aw. Well, whatever. You're still trying to keep it alive.
I tried. Yeah.
Whatever happened to the Brawl of Shame, by the way?
It's in Topper's trunk.
Still?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Like he just hasn't taken it out?
Yeah, the bras and everything.
That is... yeah. No, that makes sense. I can't argue that at all. That's spectacular. Alrighty then. Well... like I said, football games happened. We had a good time. Anyway, you might as well just jump right into it, right? So let's go to our 10 o'clock games.
Okay, I will announce them.
I know that.
Team Topper versus Slytherin, that end zone, 36-18. Bullet Club versus A&A. A&A wins 42-30. Pink Terra Tacos Hung Buffalo did not play, I guess. Practice Squad versus Hope and Ruin wins Practice Squad 49-46. And Come From Behind Hung Buffalo 30-22. McKenzie Agency versus Blitzkrieg 32-31. A real nail biter.
Ooh, that is pretty good. Well, I guess I'll just get my game out of the way. What always happened. People didn't show up. It is what it is. But it was a back and forth game. We were close at halftime, and couple had like two bad drives to start off the second half. Maddie ended up throwing some touchdowns. We ended up going down like 36-16. We got pretty close to making a little comeback there. We had to make a stop near the end of the game, and instead of getting the stop, they scored a touchdown. At that point, they went up 12, and there was no point in playing the last few minutes of the game. No big deal. Being on the sidelines of my game, though, I was able to watch some of Team Topper and Slytherin, and basically every time I turned around, it seemed like Team Topper could do whatever they kind of wanted to against Slytherin, which should make sense considering the talent on that team. That's not to discount Slytherin too much.
So actually what I heard from Topper about their game is he said that they were actually losing at halftime by a couple points.
Really?
And then in the second half, he said that Slytherin just didn't score again.
Well, maybe that coincides with Gary getting hurt, because I did turn to the sidelines at one point and Gary was just like on the ground. I think he twisted his knee a little bit. It apparently didn't look very good, according to referee Raw Dog at the time. So
is hopefully he a big factor in their team?
Well, it appears so. He went out and they stopped scoring, so I mean, like, logic would dictate that maybe, but I don't know. Gary's a good player for
sure. I don't
know
who the, like, top dogs are.
Gary has a good play. There's a guy on their team, I believe his name is Dawson.
He has brown hair.
Yeah,
I
but a lot of people do.
I saw him play once and he caught, like, every ball.
Yeah, I just know that he seemed to have muscles under his shirt, and Every time I looked over there, he was going deep, but he was, like, open deep a lot. And that's saying something, because Pete was covering him, and, you know, Pete's really, really good at football. So
true.
Dawson getting open. I know that he was overthrown a couple times, so that could probably add to the frustration. But good game. Team Topper just does Team Topper things. What are you going to do?
I will say one of my anonymous sideline reporters told me that in the Hope and Ruin practice squad game, there was a quote-unquote controversial pass interference call. The referee stated it was not pass interference, and Mike from Hope and Ruin was quote-unquote pissed about most plays in the game.
Interesting. That is a lot of quote-unquote.
I know. I put a lot of quotes on this for some reason.
That's fine. I kind of wish I would have got to see some of that game, because, you know, practice squad, they moved up. They won the D6 title last session, and now they're just like, they went to D5, and they're literally playing all, like, the D5 stalwarts, and they're beating them. Like, they're kind of climbing the ladder. Like, they beat Come From Behind, and now they're beating Hope and Ruin, and they beat Hung Buffalo. So, I mean, it's just like they're kind of climbing the ladder. I mean, I don't know how well they'll really do in the playoffs against overcompensators and Enfuego, which we'll talk about later. They did play Enfuego earlier. Was it this game? Or last week where they lost to them. But other than that, practice squad's really been holding their own, so it's good to see that, too.
They have that girl, Renee, I think, who's really good. Yeah,
Renee
and
Lance
then
is very
Jamie,
good.
It's a guy on that team. He's really good, too. So they've got good players. I think they just kind of need to get their rhythm together.
I think that's what we could have said about them, like, four seasons ago when we were playing them with, like, the Tommy Hughes experience and stuff. Because they were a team that they were good, but, like, they didn't have, you know, their system down or anything like that.
Yeah.
I think we've really seen them, especially lately, get their system down. And it's good seeing them, you know, do good things and winning. Come From Behind, Hung Buffalo played each other.
Paul Abolo is the man.
Yeah, why now?
He's so cool. Matt and I looked over at that field. The man is slinging, throwing bullets with his, like, white flow hair.
Well, he might actually move aside, Daryl. I don't think he has the best. I don't think Daryl has the best hair in the league anymore.
I don't either.
I think it's
Paul Abolo. You're the new GQ.
We should have a tournament of hair. Tournament of hair. See who has the best hair in the league.
Maddie and I literally said, though, as we were watching him, if Matt ever can't play one week, we are going to ask Paul Abolo to QB for the Angels.
That's amazing. You should do that anyway.
I know.
Like, why
Matt needs a break anyway. I think he'd be fine with it.
Sure, because Matt plays in the sun too long, he gets heat stroke, and then he can have something to blame a loss on. But jokes aside, TMA played Blitzkrieg in what was apparently a very, very close game, a one-pointer. From what I heard from Ferger, that he said Blitzkrieg is a very, very good team.
Who are they? They
wear red. I know that much. Last week, I tried to do a little bit of a meet new teams at the field day, and I was at the bar. I was talking with somebody, and the whole team was there just sitting at the table. I'm like, cool, I can just walk over and be like, hey, I'm Joe Kay. I turned around 5 minutes later, and they're just all gone. They already left. So I didn't get a chance to say hello. But I know that they wear red, and I know that, you know, they've played some good teams pretty close. Obviously, TMA, you have to say, is a D6 favorite. Then they lost to them by a point. Bipolar Express is another D6 favorite. They lost to them by three. So they're definitely holding their own.
Yeah.
They've had one or two games that they just get blown out for, and we'll probably talk about that at 1 o'clock. But
cool.
New people for us to meet.
Okay.
That's pretty good. I think that's it for 10 o'clock, though,
so,
right?
So 11 o'clock games. We have Peachy Platoon beating Energy Buff 29-6. We have A&A beating Slytherin That End Zone 41-29. Cunning Stunts and Full Throttle did not play as Full Throttle couldn't field the team. Buffalo Solar Solutions beats Uncle Rico's 41-34. Wild Oak Beard Company beats the Tots 31-30. And those are your 11 o'clock games.
That's awesome. All right, so let's just start real quick where you said that Full Throttle couldn't field a team against the Cunning Stunts.
That's what I was told.
No, I understand that. That's what I was told, too. And I'm just going to say, like, there is zero reason for anybody to ever say they can't field a team. Like, you just can. We literally have the Universal Sublist for a reason. And it's – now, the people on there, maybe they're not all world beaters or anything, but you can definitely put together a decent team.
Yeah, isn't that like what WeBack did this week? Like, there was 18 later in the day that played with like four subs.
Well,
I mean,
WeBack has done that, I think, every single week so far. But, yeah, like, for some reason, there's no reason to ever, like, everybody has access to the list.
Yeah.
And all they got to do is send out a text message, send an email. Like, chances are you have maybe like three guys and a girl. It's very easy to find, get two or three people off the list and that'll play, and you'll still be competitive.
Even if you show up and you only have three people, chances are there are three more people from the universal sub list, and then you have six.
Yeah, it's very easy math here, people. Like, it shouldn't be too hard. So I don't ever want to take, we couldn't field the team as like a good excuse to like not play a game, but apparently it still exists.
So what does that do for them in the standings? Does that go down as like a forfeit, or are they just rescheduling?
I have
a
feeling that there's going to be reschedules. Okay. These are the ones that Topper will have like written down that he knows he has to try to find a, you know, a spot for. If you haven't been paying attention to our schedules, 3 o'clock has been open because we have a few less teams in the winter session, which is usual. So usually he'll just say at 3 o'clock in week 7 or week 8 or whenever we have time, you guys have to play.
Sure.
And they'll figure it out through there.
So Energy Buff versus Peachy Platoon. I know Energy Buff was missing Kate and Nicole, and that kind of hurts.
Yeah, that kind of hurts. But like
your two best girls.
They've been missing people all year, though, too.
Yeah, it's kind of a different. It's a different roster each week, and they're good. We know they're good athletes. They're our friends, but it's hard when you have different people every week.
Yeah, and I think they had trouble at the quarterback position for a while too. I don't know who actually started for them this week.
It was Andy Schmagera.
Okay. I know the first several weeks they had that Josh guy playing, and it didn't go so well for Josh.
I'm shocked.
Do you guys know what happened to that Tommy guy?
So he normally is their quarterback. He couldn't commit for the fall, I think, because of work stuff. Because
he would have had to wear sleeves?
I believe he's coming back, though, next session.
Okay, because like when he was there consistently, that's when they finally like
They were a real team.
Oh, yeah, Tommy can sling.
A real team. I like that we put it that way. But can sling? No, he's pretty good. We played against him like a million times, and I was always under the assumption that that's who their quarterback was going to be this session. And then every time I've looked at their game, besides the fact that there's the only face I recognize each and every week is Eric, because he's the only one that seems to show up every week.
Yeah, Eric is other consistent.
But everybody else is just like, oh, these are the other people wearing gray that'll show up this week. It's just, it could be, I know firsthand that it's frustrating. So, but I'm going to give them some credit because Peachy only scored 29 against them. So like, even though they obviously struggle on their side of the ball, only scoring 6 points, holding Peachy to 29 right now is pretty good. You know, they've been scoring pretty high amounts lately. Yeah. I mean, like I said, they got 61 against us, and then I don't really remember any.
It's like a college men's 4x1 team.
It's disgusting.
That is Peachy Platoon.
Yeah. Yeah, and seriously, they're just throwing deep balls to their females, too. The girls are just burning by people. It's just, oh, God, it's unreal. Yeah. Stupid young kids and their athleticism.
Yeah. I will say Tater Tots had a fallen soldier.
What?
The Tots are super fun.
Yes, and they're awesome. They're a riot.
When we stayed and played volleyball, they all joined with us, and we had, like, two full games going, so it was pretty fun, but one of them said he, like, messed up his hand. I'm like, well,
because of volleyball?
No, like, at football. But I was like, that's kind of like a rite of passage to like jam your finger.
Yeah, it's the worst ever.
Uncle Rico's, what the heck is happening with them? They
I don't
used
know.
To be like a solid team. Tim is good. Jackie's good.
I don't know. I honestly have no clue why they're not great. I think that I need to like text John Sen and just say, hey, John, what happened?
Why are you not good anymore?
No, Tim said that he, as the quarterback, like, he's not, like, a play caller. He'd rather do, like, pickup, and the team wants plays, and then it's just, like, a systems thing that's missing.
Yeah, it's hard to do that. Because I remember, I mean, I understand it. Like, some quarterbacks just don't like calling plays. They just like letting their players run around for a while. Yeah,
preaching to the choir over here.
Right.
We get it.
It's just, it's crazy, though. Like, as, you know. Like people, like when Matty Ice would call it spaghetti, just like, just go, see where you end up. And that works if you have a quarterback who can just like, you know, scramble away from everybody and do what they got to do. And I'm just laughing because people who can't see this don't know that our secret co-host, my dog Bailey, is here. And she's just getting into stuff and just doing things.
It's
that she
fun.
Does. So anyway, like I said, if that's the case, if the quarterback wants everybody to run spaghetti, but the entire team wants you to call plays, I think you need to start calling plays.
Fair.
Like, because at that point, it's like people aren't happy. They don't know where they're going. Like, and I understand why that's frustrating too. So, you gotta call some plays at some point. But good on Buffalo Solar for doing what they do. They've, mm-hmm. they've been really solid for a while now. I remember Lenny used to rag on them. I believe they used to be AARP, and he used to just say, they're great people, but it would just never work out. And then
they have some really tall people on their team.
They are large.
Oh, my God.
And in, like, the good way.
Yeah.
Yeah, we played them in the wine tournament. Yes. I sort of just knew of them as, like, a lower division team.
Royal Blue.
And I wasn't expecting as much, but they played great against
mm-hmm.
us.
Yeah. Our gender team played them, and it was... it came down to the last play of the game. It was competitive.
For the wine tournament?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, because I was going to say, I don't think you... Did you play them yet in...
No.
Okay, that's got to be
I think we
soon.
Do Saturday.
That's coming up.
But moving on to noon. Public Enemy beat Marketing Mayors 35-14. That was probably a revenge game for them.
A little bit.
Peachy Platoon beats Weback 62-6. We're not even going to talk about that game.
I'm going to talk about it for like 1 second.
Yeah. Vaspian beat Endgame 25-13. Passless Chaps beat the Replacements 32-14. Go Coach J. And Bipolar Express and Graves Bros tie 16-16.
Really quickly, I'm only going to say the one thing about PG Platoon versus Weback is that PG screwed up. Last week on this podcast, I pointed out that every week there's been somebody that scored 61 points. It's just been like just a unique thing that had happened. And I said on the podcast last week that if anybody scored exactly 61 points again, Travis was buying them a bucket and I was buying like the captain
wow.
like a shot or something. And they just had to get that extra conversion, just had to one up it. So I just thought that was funny. I was like, did anybody score 61? And I see 62 and it's just like, jerks.
So I had a lot of notes at this point in time because this is when I showed up.
This is
up.
Excitement. Let's go.
So the Bipolar versus Graves game was super interesting. Gordon started the game throwing a pick, and I was like, well, here we go. and Graves actually kind of got, like, how to play against a gender team because they would throw a deep ball to a guy, kneel at the one, and then throw to a girl. They have some girls who have good hands. And then Graves had the old quarterback from Salino Sewer Rats as a receiver.
Okay.
So he's no longer a quarterback. They have, like, some older guy. But honestly, the girls on Bipolar did a really good job. Like, they were running deep routes. Kat had an out and up. Steph had, like, some stop-go stops. It was 16-8 at halftime. Bipolar was down, and then they came back and scored again. So this game was, like, pretty fun to watch. It was a super defensive battle, like, multiple times each team on offense would get the ball at the 50. And then it was just, like, people, like, really being good, like, closing on defense when the ball was in the air, like, stopping it, knocking it down at the last minute. So it was exciting.
That's pretty good then. Mm-hmm. So let's see. What other games happen here we can talk about? Did Coach J play for Passless Chaps?
Yes, he did.
Did he now? Well, that...
So a sideline reporter who will remain anonymous said, because Passless started out having a hard time, quote unquote, Coach J is not the problem. Passless Butterfingers are the problem.
Ooh, that's rough. You can't say that. We kind of already knew that, though, because like...
I didn't say it. It was a sideline reporter.
I didn't say you said it, for the record.
But Passless Chaps now has Jen McAndrews on their team.
Yeah.
And, I mean... Jay didn't know her before. He was like, she's got hands. I'm like, yeah, she does. She plays really smart. So that was kind of a good ad for them. I guess, like, Topper put her on the roster or something.
Yeah,
I
forget.
She needed a team.
Yeah, she needed a team, and there you go.
But, yeah, the Replacements had, like, a couple good stops on defense. Not a good, like, not enough to, you know, get the W.
Get the dub.
But, yeah. And AJ, if you guys don't know AJ, he's on the Replacements. He claims to be the Scott Chandler of the Replacements.
So that's why they're losing 32-14.
No, meaning that he's your guy that floats underneath as, like, your outlet. But it's just funny for him to self-identify like that.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Vaspian Endgame, 25-13. I did have a chance to talk to the kids from Vaspian.
Yes.
Well, I guess they're slightly older than that, but real good bunch of people. Like, they mm-hmm. were very welcoming when I walked over. I was like, hey, Vaspian, who the hell are you? And
they're
sat
good
around.
On
we
defense.
We got to make fun of Drew. I was talking to a few of my, I believe I was talking to Kevin, I believe is the mm-hmm. actual, like, captain's name. And then Lucas, I remember him too. I got his phone number. They're actually going to be on here. They're a riot. They immediately were like, let's talk shit about football and do some shots. I'm like, this is my type of
yeah.
team. They said they love the league. They're really excited. That's just like, this is just like exactly what they had been looking for. So it was pretty cool. They have Drew, and then they have this guy who looks sort of like Drew, like if they cloned Drew, but like it didn't go so well. I don't remember that kid's name.
Guy from My Breakfast Club.
No, not at all. The thing is, that joke was specifically for the team, and they know exactly who I'm talking about, and they're laughing right now, and that's all I needed for it. So okay. That's cool. So they'll be, I think they said they'd be on next week, so we can finally start meeting new people instead of bringing back these retreads like
clowns like this. Yeah, yeah. I appreciate it.
No, they're really good on defense. Yeah. Again, like they have good closing speed when the ball is in the air where they can like knock it down. The guys play like good aggressive defense, so they're pretty good for a new team.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, in general.
Yeah, I was talking with one of the guys at the bar afterwards, kind of doing the same thing Joe was doing, just trying to kind of figure out who are these new guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were telling me about, like, each of them has, like, an athletic background, and I don't remember what sports they played, but, like, they had all, you know, done sports their whole lives. I think maybe on, like, the collegiate level or something like that.
I can't remember.
That could be it.
We'll find out next week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. They'll tell you all about it. I don't need to tell you their life story.
Marketing Mayors versus PE. One of my sideline reporters stated, Marketing Mayer's middle defense is awful. They're not attacking the safeties when they're on offense. And then I did watch Delfonso threw a ball to one of his receivers. She popped it up in the air, and then Tommy Hughes got a pick, and that kind of seemed like an important play. Another play I saw happen that I wanted to discuss because I've never seen it. Field one was a little bit slippery. I don't know if anyone played on it, especially right in the middle. And the Marking Mayor's quarterback tried to, like, juke to the side, and then, like, his leg slid out, and the ball was in his hand and landed on the ground, and he kept playing. And then everybody was flipping out, dead ball, dead ball, dead ball. And it was kind of controversial. I think the ball was called down. It wasn't initially, though, and people were, like, going nuts.
I feel like I'm 90% sure, 99% sure that means he's down.
Yeah, it's a
like,
dead
it
ball.
Matter.
Even if it's in your even if it's in your hand.
So why are people arguing? Like what? Just because
the ref didn't call it.
Who was the referee?
Who do you think?
I don't know.
Who's on field one?
Garbaz.
Yep.
Poor guy. I like him though. I don't want to talk shit too much shit to him. That's fun though. All right. What else we got here? I guess 11 o'clock. Let's go to that. Right?
You mean 1 o'clock?
Oh yeah. Well, that's
1 o'clock. The Dilfs beat we back 47-12. No shock there. No punt intended. The Jabronis get the win, 27-25.
That was a good game.
JT was here, he'd say, "What are the Jabronis cooking?" Or whatever, the smalalala smackdown.
Oh, we should get that as a clip. That'd be great.
Overcompensators beat Come From Behind 50-24. Replacements beat Graves Bros 29-27. That one's interesting.
It is.
And then Zach Attack beats Blitzkrieg 51-13.
Yikes. So
let me just say, Replacements versus Graves Bros. So that's a little bit of drama because they used to be one team.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yes. So they were all last season 5-star generals.
Why did they split?
They divorced. And ooh. I asked for a quote from the team, and they said it's quote unquote too soon for me for this writer to ask the team that question.
That's bananas.
It's
more interesting because like Replacements have been, and I'm not trying to be mean here, but they haven't been great. They've had a rough season so far. Yeah. I think this is their first win actually. And Graves Brothers been pretty good, like you said. You know, they just tied bipolar. They've played a lot of really good games, and then they end up losing this one. So, do you know exactly what happened in the game?
I watched it a little bit. It was. Let me see. Where were we? So it looked like it was pretty back and forth. Both teams kind of were like not really using their girls. Graves Bros. I can't keep track because they divorced. Graves Bros has one guy who wears these really thick gloves. He's tall, thin, and he's their best receiver. If I were them, I would send him deep all the time, go out at the one, and then get a girl touchdown because they have Katie Swanson and she can catch the ball.
Yeah.
They seem to not want to do that plan. And then the quarterback on Graves Bros is this older man who gets super cranky all the time. And then when he misthrows the ball, starts screaming at everybody else. It's a
cranky.
Lot to watch.
It apparently is.
It really is a lot to watch. Jabronis versus No Punt. You were watching that, weren't you?
I saw the end of that game. Yeah, I think Bro had the game-winning catch at the end of that.
Yeah.
What happened?
It was pretty exciting. I mean, it just seemed like a competitive game throughout. So I was watching, I think Kyle Kniff, quarterbacks for No Punt Intended. And they were trying to do almost like the Peachy Platoon like running play, it looked like, a couple times where they like pitched the ball back to him so he had the option to run. But it looked like Jabroni's kind of had it covered well for the most part. And then I was getting ready for my sticky game afterwards, and I just kind of glanced over at the right time, and I saw Bro catch one right in the front of the end zone for the win. So pretty exciting for them.
Was that his time ran out?
I saw four picks in that game within 2 minutes.
Yikes.
It was insane. Right. It was literally insane. Like, just when you saw, like, the life dying in one team because they were so pissed about a pick, they came back to life. Like, it was absolutely nuts. Holly got one for the Jabronis. Then Bro got one. Then some other guy got, I don't know, a couple people. But
some other guy.
Yeah. Bro got a pick. Yeah, I couldn't keep track.
Big day
after,
for Bro.
Like,
sounds like player of the game to me.
I know. He had a huge, like, jump ball in the back of the end zone. It was a beautiful catch. And then, of course, the whole other team is screaming that it was out and he was clearly in. Yeah, it was a lot. And then JT, obviously, on the sideline, said the quote for the game in reference to Bro, quote unquote, "Ya boy is hot."
I like JT quotes. I really feel like he should be here, like, sitting off to the side just to yell things in the background. That'd be really fun.
Yeah, with
so
his
if JT
eyes
wants
closed.
To, that'd be great. The Dill Stuck on We Back. I know we don't have much to say about it because, unfortunately, We Back is just struggling more than I think I've ever seen a TSL team struggle, unfortunately. The Dilfs are obviously very good. They did exactly what very good teams do to Weback, and they won by a whole bunch.
So I watched Overcompensators versus Come From Behind, but only for the, like, first half-ish. I'm shocked at this score because when I was watching it, the game looked super close, and it was just like a tennis match. Both teams going back and forth, like, using 4 to 6 drives. Come From Behind does a really good job of using the outside of the field, so they kind of really make the defense spread out, and they chunk. So they play typical Lenny football, like chunk it down the field, and they're smart. You know, they've been in the league a long time.
Exactly. Well, I kind of – Overcompensators are the best team in the division, and we'll talk about why in the next hour worth of games, but, like, I'm not shocked at the score at all. Like, they probably just figured out what they needed to do in the second half, and honestly, when they need to just sling it, like, Larry can really do that. I found that out last week when I got to fill in for the Terror Talk, and we just got murdered. And they play a good system, although I heard that this week they didn't even have, like, their entire team. Like, one of their better players wasn't there, so
well,
they
could
even have been better.
They did the same thing that Graves Brothers did, where their quarterback from last year is not the quarterback anymore, and he was playing receiver. And initially, I thought they, like, gave him the boot, but I guess he's back, and he's playing, and he's a good receiver.
Right.
I always thought he was a good quarterback, too. He had a good arm.
I think he's a good quarterback, but I think I don't even need to think it. Like, once Larry stepped in, things have just been completely different for them.
I think Larry just has a better touch on the ball. Like, I think the other guy probably has, like, a overall stronger arm, but if your receivers can't catch the ball.
I don't know about that, because I definitely saw some, like, full field bombs against us
last
week.
This guy played in that game when it was so windy out and no one could move the ball, and he was still throwing bullets in playoffs, like, last year in the fall.
That is something I could never, ever, ever hope to do.
Same.
And then what's the last game? Oh, Zach Attack just stomped Blitzkrieg at this point. So it confuses me because Blitzkrieg plays TMA and loses by a point. And then I don't know if just the long wait had something to do with it or whatever, but they played Zach Attack, and Zach Attack just kept scoring and scoring. I didn't see any of that game because I was getting ready to ref for the next hour.
Yes.
But
Joe K had a whistle issue.
Well, that's fair.
He couldn't find his whistle, so he was finding that.
Well, I did find the whistle.
Yes.
Can find.
So that's why
it was all tied up. It was the worst. But
it was a whole thing.
Jokes aside, congrats to Zach Attack on a pretty dominant win. Can't even argue that. Let's see. I guess that means we're going to roll at 2 o'clock, huh?
Moving along. So Eyes Downtown beats Public Enemy 34-27. Frodo Swaggins beats, no pun intended, 34-29. Ultimate Warriors win against Sticky Bandits 46-30. Maddie's Angels beat Mountain Doomy 44-18, and Overcompensators smoke En Fuego 58-25. So I guess they weren't En Fuego.
No, they were very, very, very cold. That is definitely. Now, we talked about this a little bit before we started recording, and I think a few times it was mentioned in various articles and everything. 2 o'clock slate of games was phenomenal. Like, every single game was somewhere that you would want to be. And, like, I know even people were like, well, the Maddie's game, whatever. But even your game, because I got the privilege to referee it. 44-18, but it was a lot closer than that for a while. Yeah. You guys didn't really break
Tension
it open.
Tension was high.
Yeah, you guys didn't really break it open until, I would say, the second half. Finally, Mountain Dumi just couldn't keep up where they needed to.
Shout out to Margo Pagano for getting three picks.
Yeah, she was everywhere at some point.
And then Maddie just kind of was like, I'll take a break, and Margo started being our quarterback. So she was, like, leading the team to victory. It was pretty awesome.
She's a badass.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I got to say
about
that.
There's not much to say. I will say that I got to meet Mountain Dumi after the game, too, because why not? Like I said, the whole commitment to meeting new people. All great people. They're all really, really nice. I know maybe you...
Except when they throat punch you.
You're a little bit bitter right now because maybe it looks like an accident or something, but you're mad about it. But I think you got your revenge, so like, chill out.
I did get my revenge.
You did get your little spike on a poor gentleman who wasn't expecting it. So I think
Too bad.
I think you're even. But they're nice people, too. Hopefully we can have one or two of them on the show soon as well.
Jeff, how about you talk about Sticky versus Ultimate Warriors?
You know, it's so funny. I was so excited to come on the podcast potentially the last few weeks when we were winning all our games.
Aww.
And now I'm finally here, and it's right after an unexpected loss. So that's kind of not great to have to talk about.
Are losses ever expected?
I guess not.
Yeah.
I guess not. You always think you're going to win every one, right?
That's kind of the whole point in playing, right?
Yeah.
That's why we play the game.
So it was a bummer. So Ultimate Warriors hadn't won a game coming into this.
Really?
So we got to be there first. That was pretty exciting.
That's Sam's team, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. Sam and Scott. Is Scott like their starting quarterback?
Now, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the younger kid?
Yeah. He left, what was that team? Tim Dove's team last
Val's
year.
Oh, he was on Val's team.
Yeah, he was on that pink
that
team.
That pink team.
Moneyball. Moneyball. And he left them to go be the quarterback for...
I thought he was fantastic.
He's definitely an athlete. His moments
yeah.
for sure.
So I was talking with Joe a little bit before the podcast. So, you know, there's games you play where you think, you know, we really lost this more than they won it. Like, you know, if we had just done this instead of that, this really wasn't one of those games. Like, they were the better team on Saturday. Like, anybody watching it would have said, look, they executed on offense.
How
the quarterback
come?
Scrambled when he needed to.
Okay.
He made every throw that he needed to. Offensively, we didn't get a stop until, I think, the last drive of the game.
Okay.
And then when we were on O, like, we moved the ball fine, but we had a few picks just caused by mostly receivers kind of running the wrong routes.
Mm. Yeah, that'll happen.
Who was quarterbacking for you?
So we had Mike Thomas quarterbacking.
Mike the Worm Thomas.
Mike the Worm Thomas. We have to say that in every podcast.
Why is he Mike the Worm Thomas?
Oh, you don't know?
I guess not.
Because one time we were in at this bar, like the Rusty Buffalo or something in West Seneca, and Mike and Rags were playing pool, and they're both really good at pool. And I was like, you guys should make a bet of some sort. And they're like, okay, what's the bet? And there was this table of creepy old guys watching them play. And I was like, loser has to go over to that table, slap it seductively, and say, watch this, big boys, and do the worm in the middle of the bar. Mike Thomas loses this game of pool, and... he sort of honors the bet. He didn't do the full-blown worm. He did a standing-up version of the worm that kind of looked like he was sieging, however you say that, a little bit. So after Sticky Bandits won 2 weeks ago, I was doing the worm on the field for them in hopes that Mike Thomas would join me. I'm still waiting.
That's awesome.
Maybe we'll make that part of the Jabronis bet next week.
Yes! How could you not at this point?
So
then let me ask you a question. Now, obviously, Alex isn't quarterbacking because he has hand issues.
Right.
So who really is your quarterback?
So so far through four games, we've used Rags twice.
Yes.
And we've used Mike Thomas twice. Rags is kind of our starter.
Okay.
When he's healthy enough to play this season.
Rags
so
has
I think
got a lot of injuries,
He
right?
does. So he's coming off of two knee surgeries. His last one was only about 5 or 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he probably shouldn't be playing right now.
But he can't
And I
help
tell
himself.
Him all the time,
can't
like, hey, man, you shouldn't
stop.
Be doing this. But he can't stop and won't stop. So when he's there and he feels like he's physically able to play, we have Rags at quarterback.
Okay.
And when we don't, Mike Thomas is a pretty good third string to have. Got to be the best third stringer in the
what
league.
What do you prefer?
Yeah, well, what do you think the difference is between them?
So who do I prefer? Rags is really having some difficulty right now just stepping into his throws. He's a very, very smart quarterback.
Right.
He makes a lot of great decisions. The first game of the season, he definitely had some like wide open receivers that he kind of just couldn't hit because he can't really let, you know, it's a big part of your emotions just stepping into it. And
yeah.
He just
Plus
didn't
he hadn't
feel
really
the confidence.
Done anything in forever,
exactly.
So
well,
like...
and throwing all arm is not easy.
Yeah.
And it's hard to be accurate.
Exactly. So Rags is a great quarterback when he's like feeling healthy and confident. I think that we're still like a few weeks away from him kind of getting all that confidence back.
Okay.
So it's really tough to say. Like right now, Mike is clearly the more like confident quarterback
sure.
out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like he can step into it. He was throwing all kinds of deep balls this week. That. Yeah, he did really well, despite the fact that we lost the game.
Now, there won't be any, like, QB controversy within the team because half the people like Rags and half the people like Mike, would there?
No, I don't think so. I feel like I think everyone's pretty supportive on our team. I think everybody knows at the end of the day, Alex is still the starter whenever, you know, whenever he's recovered and ready to come back.
That's fair.
Well, and what's nice too about the other two is they can still be receivers. It's absolutely. It's not like 100%. When Alex comes back, then they're like, oh shit, I don't have a spot.
Should Rags receive? He's kind of made of paper mache, so might go poorly if he's got to like run routes and stuff.
So that's a great point. So right now, Rags is not going to do any kind of play where he has to receive.
He kind of told me that before.
Yeah, he threw a pick a couple weeks ago, and like we were screaming at him not to chase the guy down because I just don't want him running at this point.
That'd be the worst to have that happen.
The Rags rule on Tuesday nights,
which you know all about. But by springtime, my assumption is that he's going to be healed enough that he can run routes again. And then at that point, he'll be a receiver.
So then you did mention Alex's injury. So how long until he's okay that you know of?
So it's tough. So I guess it's like 6 to 8 weeks from the injury that you're supposed to like keep your splint on all the time.
Probably so I think he's, that he's playing football then.
Well, so he tapes it up pretty thoroughly before each game. And he's out there making catches.
I know. Yeah.
He had a couple deep bombs, which you don't expect a guy like Alex to be doing like the deep routes. But he was crushing it.
Yeah, he had a big
Alex, Alex actually like playing against him and with him, when he runs deep, he's not the fastest person in the league, but he'll body a motherfucker out.
Like, he knows exactly how to use his body.
This is not a PG podcast.
Oh no.
Yeah. So I mean, Alex knows how to like use his strengths to his advantage.
Yeah, he is wildly underrated. I think as a receiver.
I agree.
That's fair. All right. Well, I can say something about the Eyes Downtown Public Enemy game.
Okay.
I didn't get to watch it, but I did get to talk to Tommy Hughes about it later, and he said that it was like much better than it went last week.
With fighting on the sidelines.
Yeah, right. So they went out and they played their hearts out. I think they were a little bit shorthanded this week, too.
No, Baccio.
Baccio sat out again.
And I don't think Greg Osico was there.
Somebody else. I know that Cole had to play some defense at some point for one of these games, so that's like how bad things were. I mean that with love, but that's literally what Cole would tell you. But Tommy said that it came down to literally the last play of the game. Bobby just ended up. Eyes Downtown scored on the last play of the game to win it. Either that or have been a tie or whatever. But interesting thing they did that made Bobby go insane, allegedly.
Allegedly.
And it's completely it's a legal play, unfortunately. And it's interesting. And I guess they pulled this off. So what they did was they had the ball at the goal line. Okay. And a girl snapped the ball. And then while the count's happening, the girl proceeded to lay down on the ground. And she's across the line of scrimmage. They can't get to it. Her feet are in the end zone. Place the ball in her hands. It's a touchdown.
There's no rule against this now.
It's legal. Nope.
Are they going to change the rule book this week?
Tommy said he's told Ramir about it.
Yeah.
I don't know if he said it before or whatever.
But her head is near the quarterback and her feet are in the end
zone. Yeah, if the goal, you have the goal line, she basically takes a step into the end zone.
I guess it is
lays
legal.
Lays down.
Yeah.
The feet are in the end zone.
That's wild.
She's laying down.
Who was willing to do that? Because that's a little scary.
I don't think it mattered.
I don't know if I would want to lay on the ground like
if
that.
If it's Cheryl, are you going to step on Cheryl? Because that would be a big mistake.
No, so, out of fear.
And honestly, think about that play if it's happening. If somebody just goes down like that, you're not really like reacting to it.
No,
and then all of a sudden you're realizing as
they're
putting the ball in
the
hands, that's amazing. Like, first off, amazing way to break the rule book.
Agree.
And it's legal as hell. Her feet are in the end zone. The ball's not on the ground. It's literally just placed in her hands, and the defense can't get it until 6-1000, so it's quick enough to make
it happen.
I agree
that it's legal. I have to imagine they're changing
the
rule book this week, right? I mean,
that is the
biggest load of shit. Exactly. If they don't change the rule book, we're all doing it on Saturday, right? That's incredible.
Really, it's a crazy way.
Wait, so just so I know, the line of scrimmage is here, so I would lay down like this.
Yeah.
Quarterback is here, and you put the ball on.
Now, people can't get the proper visual. However, yes, that's all you have. Okay. All you would have to do is just put your feet in the end zone and lay down on the ground. And
if anyone steps on me,
as long as your hands are like, you know, by the quarterback behind the line of scrimmage, they can't do anything to stop it.
Okay.
And you get the ball in your hands and you're immediately down, but your feet are in the end zone, so it's a touchdown.
That's awesome. Just to do that so that Bobby blows a gasket. That's funny.
That's what they said happened, and Tommy says that they might have done it before in some various fashion. They said you need to change the rule on this, and nobody did or something. That's what Tommy said. Of course, who knows if that's real or not? But you gotta imagine that's got to be changed, right? Like that's If anything, just for the safety of the person doing the
I'm impressed
the
as hell, though. I mean, that's a really clever thing to come up with.
Only Tommy Hughes would come up with that.
It's just brilliant. Well, that if they've done it before, I think our dearly departed Leonard Elbum might have come up with that play. But it boggles my mind that he wouldn't have changed it. So
you see the mastermind Jeff Kroll's wheels spinning.
Oh my
right
God,
now.
He's
absolutely
so happy. Like, he loves. I knew you would love that play because yes. you're immediately figuring out how you can do it.
Unfortunately, now everyone's hearing this podcast, though, and everyone's going to know to do it against me. So
hopefully,
but you're going to be ready for it.
That's true.
For listeners, goes down this week. did anyone watch No Punt versus Frodo?
Again,
that
score
kind of surprised me.
I was refereeing. Well, you know who didn't surprise? Scotty Drow. Because
I don't know who that is.
He is the quarterback for Frodo
Swaggins.
Oh,
yeah. That was mentioned.
An awesome human being.
Okay.
And I think he's like just a rising star in the league. And he's another person who needs to come on here, especially because he just makes fun of Garrett, which warms my heart.
Is he on the top 15 quarterbacks in the league?
I think he just missed out on the top 10 and like freaked out about it last week, but... beating, no pun intended, probably helped, but I think his later game might have hurt, so we'll have to talk about that later.
And then overcompensators versus En Fuego. So the Jorts did not bring, they didn't bring
so
it.
here's what happened. Basically, from what I heard, mostly from En Fuego, is that Blaise LaDuca was terrible. And it was completely his fault. I guess he threw four picks in the first half or something. I'm not even exaggerating. That's what
he really hyped this up too, right?
Oh yeah, they had bets on it. They had beer bets. They were talking crap on Facebook, I think. It was a big day.
Now that Blaze and I are friends, I feel bad for him.
I know. I feel bad for him too because I happened to be talking to the overcompensators about their game, and that's when Blaze brought over the bucket. You know, good game. And it wasn't even semi hiding back dejected. Like, Blaze looked really, really bothered. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to go over and talk to their team because I really want to. You got to get both sides of that story. And
I will say, Blaze keeps it cool. Keeps his composure. In the game where his lovely teammate and Ricky Austin got into it, Blaze was very, composed despite other people, yapping.
We didn't have a podcast last session. So, I don't think we ever talked about Blaze really said last session he was really making it a point to change his reputation. Mm-hmm. He really wanted to be. And I say he's done it 100%.
He's good people.
I would say he's made a 180. I never thought he was bad to begin with, but, anything that... But people did have their negative things to say about him, and he's been a great person.
No, Lenny just planted a rivalry against the
kind of what I was going to say, but not say. But, so he was really dejected, and like they said, they just got behind way too quickly, and there's nothing they can do about it. It's hard to catch up when you keep allowing touchdowns and giving them the ball right back, so what are you going to do? But, again, Larry played awesome. That's why he was going to come on the show.
Larry
and,
can come on in 2 weeks.
He can come on whenever he wants, honestly. I feel bad that he's sick. He feels bad that he's sick, but he was supposed to be on here to just talk as much crap as he could. But you know what? Larry's too nice of a guy to really talk too much shit, so it wouldn't have been that bad. But I hope you feel better, Larry, because you definitely need to be there Saturday to keep slinging it,
Let's move along, then. 3 p.m., tight ends in motion, gets the W over Gryffindor, 40-15, no surprise, despite the Godfather's prediction. And third and Schlong beats Frodo 41-22. That's surprising.
That's very surprising.
Yeah.
You were playing, I had to leave because I was going to Toronto. Did you happen to catch that
game? Yeah, well, I didn't watch it, but the only thing I heard afterwards, just talking with Garrett, I think he did injure a quad or something that. Like, he did hurt himself pretty early in that game. So obviously you know how important he is to that team.
Well, I heard he wasn't that important.
Well, it seems like he would have been a little bit helpful.
Well, props
in making up that difference. But
all right, props to Third and Schlong because I've given them a little bit of crap because they've just had a rough season where they've been close but no cigar. Now finally they come out here against Frodo and even if Garrett did get hurt, they have other weapons. They should. Well,
absolutely.
That's not true. Josh wasn't. Was Josh?
Josh was there.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe he wasn't. I thought he was doing the Tough Mudder, but that might have been the next day. Anyway, well then they had their people there. I guess Third and Schlong wins, and that's good for them. I'm sorry to Scott Keller for being mean to him then because he said, "Why haven't you invited me on your podcast?" Besides the fact that he's an enemy of the state now for reasons I won't get into. I will say that I did say you have to win a game before you can be on this show.
No, Scott Keller,
he's eligible now. Look at that.
Fighting him,
and
then they went up.
Well,
you know what? No,
you've earned the rights.
I think I was inspirational, and that's why Third and Schlong went and won the game.
Yeah,
they had the longest losing streak in the league up until this week.
Oh yeah, I did read that.
Really?
Yeah, that's what he told me at the bar.
Oh,
Was that in one of those, like,
it was in one of the articles, yeah.
The QB ratings, well, that has, like, 52. I love the stats. The charts are back, and I couldn't be happier.
That's a lot to take in.
I get off on those things.
Maddie's Angels was at, like, the top of everything.
Yeah, it's a joke, actually. Like, I love that they were like, you know what, it's not even fun. Let's say here's the Maddie's Angels averages, and let's talk about the next best team in the league. And I think that's overcompensated, or at least it was. Well, they put up a bunch of points this week, too, so it's probably still them in terms of scoring.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's your week four games. Things are shaping up right now, and
I guess we don't have to talk about my game.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We can talk about your game. I'd love to hear about it.
There's not a lot to say. Joey Bats could not really get the ball, like, past the 50.
Yeah, why is that? Because he's doing so well against every team in D1 except for you guys, right? Like, he's had close games against other teams.
Yeah,
he was 1 point away from Public Enemy. He just lost to Eyes Downtown.
We got 6 sacks, so
yikes. Were you rushing?
Yeah, that helps. I'm a rusher now. I am working on that skill. But the guys on defense just on our team had really good closing speed where they had a lot of knockdowns. I don't think there were like a ton of picks. It was more just like them not being able to get completions. We manned their girls, so they had a pretty hard time getting completions to girls, and that's how it went.
Fair enough.
And my dad's quote from the game was, that little guy on the other team gets really mad, doesn't he?
Which little guy?
Who do you think?
There's a few of them.
Joey Bass.
They're not that big.
Joey, you're my friend. Yeah, that's just what my dad said.
I love Joey. It's fine. It's fine. No, it's a shame. Yeah, you know what? It's a good thing you made that point, because we made a point on this podcast last time that Gryffindor, while they are 1-6 now, other than this game in week one, every other loss has been by just a few points, like literally single-digit points. So it's kind of a bummer to see them get, you know, trounced like that, because quite frankly, like, I know you don't care because, hey, congrats, you won by 25.
Yeah, but
like, quite frankly, having them compete where everybody's always like, well, nobody else can compete with, like, the big three, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
So they were, and they are. And I just personally just want, like, more deep, consistent D1 teams. Like, I would love Gryffindor to just stay there, maybe add a piece, and just get better.
Yeah.
Not, like, I don't want to say do the topper to be a dick, but, like, you were up there, all right, you took your lumps. Although Topper's team was not terrible.
Not like Angry Buffalo went like 0-9.
Yeah, they had no business being there.
That was because, though, they had good guys. You cannot go up if your girls are like D6 caliber.
That,
unfortunately, is what Angry Buffalo had to deal with.
No, their girls said that their girls were D1 caliber.
Well,
that's what Lenny told me.
Well, they were mistaken.
I'm just kidding. But, like, jokes aside, like, I really want to see, I don't know if it's like rebuilding D1 is the right way of putting it, but we need to get like shout out to tight ends, because you guys went up there and you're not really like setting the world ablaze, but you're much more competitive now than you were when you first started, and that's just how it is. You get better by playing this better competition.
We're 2-3 right now, and the 3 games we lost by 1 point, 2 points, and 4 points.
Yeah, which
I would take competitive games losing over going to D2 and blowing people out.
Sure.
To me, that's not fun.
Sure. And now, I mean, again, I don't want to say that I'm aiming it directly at Team Topper, because I love pretty much everybody on that team. But, like, at the same time, overall, it would have been better had they just stayed up. I know that, like, you know, rumors have come out that basically just the girls weren't happy because, let's face it, you girls in D1, like, it takes a special breed of animal to be one of them, where you just got to play tough all the time. And that can, if you're not used to the physicality, that's where it becomes, like, a problem. And, like, that's where sometimes people go, oh, well, D1's too rough, they're all kind of dicks, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's just, like, kind of football. That's why, like, I think you'll notice this, like, as you go up in divisions, I think, maybe not, like, as a rule, but, like, you can tell that refs let a little bit more go the higher up you go.
I think D1 is a little bit more physical and aggressive, but it's not intentional stuff. I think it's people who, like, genuinely played, like, college football or, like, a higher level.
Well, moves faster, sure.
And they know how to, like, do rub routes. They know how to, like, push off without getting noticed.
Absolutely.
And so I kind of think that's just the difference. But I also feel like if you look at the teams in D1, a lot of us have been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of hard to, like, form a new team. I think what might be the answer is making, like, an all-star team of just, like, random people from different divisions who are really good and kind of seeing what happens.
I guess. I think the long-term fix, though, is putting up, letting Maddie get all of the people he wanted to get for move up to D1.
Why
and
not?
Move Topper's team back up there. Give them one more guy if they need to. Like, do what they got to do. You guys are already up there. So that have Gryffindor stay. That alone, that is already 7 teams.
Yeah.
And whoever is the lucky bunch that wins D2, guess what? That if that mm-hmm. means if the D2 team plays and just gets murdered, they yeah. need to go back down. That's fine. Because guess what? Like, if Bullet Club would have won, say we would have won the D2 top, we lost in the championship. We would have won that, and we would have had to move up this season. Things would be bad. It would not be good.
Times
so,
might be tough.
Yeah, it'd be a little rough. They're tough now. We stayed down. So yeah. obviously, the changes depend on like what happens. I mean, sometimes you get like we got in D4. Puckett All Stars was an 8 seed, and they just. They beat Endgame. They ended up winning, you know, beating Buffalo still in the championship. Again, props to them for moving up to D3. Anyway, just saying that. And, hey, we won. We're moving up. That's a baller move. But Emily did the spin thing, and it completely ruined my train
means
of thought. So
time to wrap up. Let's do our sour and our sweet.
I don't know if I like that.
This one. Means what did you like about Saturday, and what's one thing that you could have done without?
I can't remember. Oh, is this like kind of like MVP, LVP? Like
yeah,
used to do?
MVP. Right. Yeah.
Is that what you called it before?
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. MVP, LVP. Okay, I was secretly trying to come up with a new name, but we remembered what Lenny did, so we're keeping that. Okay, my MVP from Saturday was Margot Jablonski with her 3 interceptions and throwing touchdown. She was an all-star. And my dad's comment about her was, the girl's got hands. I'm like, yeah, no shit, dad. And
then
dad my
want to be on the show?
Oh my god, we don't want my dad on the show.
I disagree.
JT also refers to my dad as his boy, and every time JT approaches him, my dad's like, what's your name again? So it's like,
2 letters.
I know, it's a whole thing.
Wow.
My dad bought JT a beer one time in 2015, and ever since then JT has never left his side. Yeah, so that's that. My LVP is my boy from Mountain Doomy that throat punched me in our game. I didn't love that. Moving on.
So bitter. Jeff, do you have MVPs and LVPs?
Yeah, of course I do. Of course I do. I'm going to say MVPs are the entire Ultimate Warriors team. They weren't just good on the field. They seemed like they were all like really nice people.
Oh, they are.
One of those games where everybody just kind of got along with each other. No animosity throughout. So hats off to them for getting their first win of the season. They definitely deserved it. I guess my LVP is going to be Full Throttle for just not putting a team together.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah.
I already touched on it earlier, so we don't have to rehash it, but
yeah.
That makes sense. I mean, who knows? Yeah, I don't want to get into it. Whatever. All right, I guess I'll do my MVP, LVP. My MVP are going to be the dudes from and the girls from Vaspian. Like, meeting them was cool. They were, like I said, all happy people, cool people, cracking jokes. Like I said, did a shot. Really enjoyed being there. They really kind of like understood what the league is about, you know. Football matters. You go out there, you compete, but like going to the bar, having a good time is great. And like I said, hopefully they'll be on the show soon and people can like really get to like see their personality or hear their personality. They're really cool people. So I'll tell you two right now, meet them this week. Yeah. No reason not to. They're pretty cool people.
I don't care.
People.
I walk up to random people all the time.
My LVP is Emily for forgetting her notebook to this. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Then my MVP is MVP is Coach Jay
for
taking pictures of every page
He's
of
such
the
a
notebook
good boy.
And texting it to me.
In terms of LVP, I don't really have one just because I wasn't – I guess the LVP is me for this reason because I wasn't at the bar the whole time at the fields because I had to leave early, unfortunately. Very rarely am I not there all day, but – because of that, I didn't get to see some of like the later action and meet even more people. But hey, we're doing a good job so far. So yeah. Like, we're doing the best we can. Are there any games or anything you guys are interested in for next week?
Take a look at the schedule.
I know it's like literally size 1 font.
You're more than welcome
so
to print
to
it
get
yourself.
Out my
more than welcome to do it yourself.
I'm excited to see Cobblestone come back. Haven't they only played like 2 games this season?
It's really I haven't seen them nearly as much in the schedule as like I feel like we should have, but
the game of the day, 1 p.m., Cunning Stunts versus Maddie's Angels.
Yeah, about time. You guys actually so I do have a question then. You guys kill everybody for the most part. So like, do you really
so
really
do they.
Yeah, I know, but you guys tend to kill them by more. I'm just going to throw that out there. It's just what the facts suggest. Do you really like, is it different when it's stunts week, I guess you could say? Like, you know it's the other girls' team, you know they have a legitimate chance to beat you, and on top of it,
like, are we going to bed early? Am I doing more protein
shakes? Like, I'm just saying, like, I know that, I just feel like this game holds more significance to you than the other ones do. Is there any truth to that?
I mean, I think that we are, as a team, like, looking forward to this game the most because it's, like, the only one on the schedule that's actually competitive. No offense, D4.
No, that's not top of
the And also, too, like, you know, last spring, that was our first time ever losing to another gender team. So, like, we're pretty fired up to come back. we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I would like to play all girls on the field for defense. I hope that they agree to that as well.
That'd be pretty cool.
Because the only point to having guys on the field is, like, so that when other guys run a deep ball, like, someone can kind of keep up with them.
That makes sense.
I mean, we've done it in the past. We didn't do it last in playoffs. We'll see if they're willing. We're willing.
I mean, ironically, my game that I would want to go watch is also at 1 o'clock, and it's simply, very simply, the Jabroni Sticky Bandits game.
Because
You guys rivalry are game. Bet. Absolutely.
Now, is it really a rivalry game? Because they haven't been around long.
No, I think really it's the start of a rivalry. So we have some history with, like, Eric Kleckler, obviously. He's played on various teams with us forever.
Right.
So Eric, Jeremy Streit is a guy that we've just known from different walks of life. We've played with him on Tuesdays.
Yep.
Good guy.
He's in Tuesday Night Fight Club.
Tuesday Night Fight Club. Emily, the first rule of Tuesday Night Fight Club. We're breaking it on
Stop
the podcast.
Talking about it.
Yeah, so I think it's hopefully the start of a good rivalry. I love a lot of guys on that team, so I think it'll be a really fun game.
We'll just make sure the bet's worth it.
Joe Miano and Jeff Kroll throw down at the end of the game a controversial
smearing
call.
Each other's mascara. I hope you guys tie. Guess what? If you guys tie, everybody gets
everyone's
makeup.
Wearing makeup if we tie. We can all agree to that.
Everybody
gets scot-free.
It's the other way around, as long as we're very clear on that.
No, we're clear on that.
As I look quickly, though, I think another fun game would be All We Do Is Quinn taking on Vaspian, because, like we said, Vaspian is younger athletic people who might be able to actually keep up with Quinn. Quinn does have, obviously, their system in place more than a new team would, but, I mean, having Drew obviously helps Vaspian because he's long and lanky and basically takes up half the field. So I think that'll be a really interesting one to watch, too. That'd be one that I would be looking
McKenzie
forward to.
McKenzie Agency versus the Chaps. So last in the spring, the Chaps bounced the McKenzie Agency out of playoffs.
That's right.
In semis, I think it was. And that was like a big game.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Because then the Chaps went out and got Coach Jay and became a better team. And now TMA went out and got QB Ryan, And now they're a better team. So they're just following their own playbook. So that's just the way it's going to go. Yeah, so I guess that pretty much wraps it up for that. Which means we can get to what we always lovingly call final thoughts. Emily, do you have final thoughts on the day? Or should I go straight to Jeff?
Go to Jeff.
Jeff. Haha.
I wasn't prepared for this, Emily.
I thought we were just doing MVP, LVP.
That doesn't... Yeah, we did that. Now it's final thoughts.
Well, my final thoughts are just spreading out girl power this weekend. Let's have a clean, fun game because I have homies on both sides of the ball.
All right, go get it, Jeffrey.
I don't want to wear any makeup. I don't think it'd be a good look for me. I really don't want to lose this game.
I know that.
That's the truth. Like I know, and that's why I don't enjoy being on the losing end. Christine actually went out and bought that dress for me.
I was going to say, because there was no way that was like hers.
No, it wasn't her size.
No offense to you.
We had to cut a slit up the back of it so that I could move my legs and run in it. Well, you know.
You still have
it. Maybe I'll break it out for you someday,
Joe.
Well, we'll see, yeah. I'll go all out with it.
You could be a part of, if we might get to use the Halloween costume drunk bowl.
4 o'clock
game. 4 o'clock game, there it is. You might have to wear the dress.
I'll only wear the dress if I can play on Maddie's Angels with it. With my fellow girls.
Could he be a girl?
I mean...
I'm not even going to get into it.
No, please
go
on.
Yeah, you could be...
What are you not going to get into? This is the perfect time to get into it.
No, it's not even worth it.
All right, I guess it wasn't that fun. That's fine.
It wasn't that fun.
All right, fair enough. I guess that leaves me with my final thought of the day. My final thought of the day is... I finally practiced what I preached and walked around the fields. And I know I've said this like 3 times already on this show, but I don't care. It stands to reason that there are awesome people in this league that we don't know about. I talked to the kids on Vaspian. They seemed like a cool bunch. Mountain Doomy was definitely a cool bunch off the field, regardless of what Emily might think about misplaced elbows. That to me tells me that there are just more people out there that we should definitely be talking to and getting to include in this league. Because as history has shown, the more times we bring people like to the bars and hanging out with, I guess we'll just call us like the regulars, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Good things have always happened. Like very rarely has somebody shown up and been like so lame that they just like leave us. But if they do, like I wouldn't blame them because sometimes we can be a little much. But I'll spit it out eventually. Like I said, you're going to be at the fields for a little bit. Go on. Go talk to people. Go meet new people and make new friends, because that's what this league's always been about is, yes, it's football, it's true, but the family portion aspect of it has always been, like, first. And I went out and did it and was pleasantly surprised. And it only took like 20 minutes to make like 15 new friends, essentially. It was great.
That means I have to put my notebook down for a little bit.
And then I guess like a final shout out to Travis, because on the podcast he said he wanted to start Tito's with Travis. Did either of you hear about this? You might have, because Andrew was a part of it.
Yeah, I think I have heard about it.
Travis decided he wanted to just take a drink, walk around the fields, and do like a 10-minute video chat with somebody, like somebody new, and just share a drink with them and get to know about them. Somebody who you don't hear about in the league too much. Now, I would argue that Andrew's a little bit more known, yes. But we're the three of us are biased too, because we know and love that gentleman. Right. So, either way, I think that's another avenue for an unheard of player.
Yeah.
Who's that player on that blue team that you've never seen before? Let's go find out who they are. They can be pretty cool people. So. Shout out to Travis for doing that, and shout out to everybody for just like keeping it cool for the most part. No drama, with the exception of like one little thing. It's been a good season so far. Let's not screw it up. And like I said, just because Topper is not going to be there this week does not mean anybody can get away with any bullshit. So just like,
I got my eyes on you.
Just keep your shit together. If anything goes wrong, find Ramir, find me, find Emily. It doesn't matter. Find somebody, and things will still be okay. We will survive without Topper for 1 week only.
I have to go watch Nick Chubb score 70 points so my fantasy team stays alive.
Good luck with that. Honestly, good luck with that. I really hope so, because the Jets are terrible. With that, thank you, everybody, and we'll see you for week 5.